And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Do you believe some people call themselves Christians and they don't believe what we say in verse number one, that Christ's blood is how we lose all our guilty stains? And that's the subject we're looking at tonight. Thank you. You may be seating. The subject of apostasy in the last days. Apostasy in the last days. We began this series two Sundays ago, and we looked at Paul's warning concerning apostasy. And tonight we're going to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter number 4, to look at some wisdom for the Christian regarding apostasy in the days in which we live. 1 Timothy chapter 4. If you'll turn there with me. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's look at verses 1 to 6 together tonight. The Bible says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." Verse 6. "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, as we study this important teaching from your word, Lord, a series on helping us understand what's taking place around us and being warned, Lord, so that we don't get pulled into the spirit of the age, the pull of apostasy, Lord, in our day. Lord, we pray that you would speak to each of our hearts. Lord, we know that we can't assume that our church is not under attack. Lord, we know that we live in a world, Lord, where people are rapidly departing from the faith. Lord, help us as your people to stand strong to the truth of your word. Help us to stand up for Jesus, Heavenly Father. Help us to stand firm in his word alone. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to get some wisdom this evening. Lord, we ask that you would give us wisdom. Lord, you promise according to your word, if we ask for wisdom, Lord, you will give it out to us liberally. You will not hold it back. Lord, we pray that you would help us to be wiser concerning, Lord, this need and this issue. And we pray that you would help us as your people tonight. And of course, Lord, we pray that you would be glorified in our lives and in and through this church in these last days in which we live, that we may shine as a light in this community where people can hear the gospel and be saved and grow to know you and love you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Notice with me in verse number 6, the Bible says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ." This is the verse the Lord gave to me regarding this series. As I was praying about what to preach this year, God challenged me about the need for all of us to remember what verse number 1 says. "Now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith." And my friends, we live in those latter times. We live in those last days where there is an explosion of apostasy. Last time we spoke about the subject of apostasy, which is basically those who know the truth, turning away from the truth, rejecting it and accepting false teaching. That's what apostasy is. A willful turning away from the truth of the Christian faith. And that's what's happening in our day in an explosive way. I believe that's the best way to describe it. Many people are departing from the faith, but don't get it wrong, they still call themselves Christians. They still say that they believe in Jesus, but God warns us that there is more to it. And my friends, we need some wisdom this evening in our lives when it comes to this issue of apostasy. David Cloud, in his Friday news notes, had a great illustration about what we are facing in the world today, and I'd like to share that with you. He says that the end time apostasy is like a great river sweeping everything along with it. And the Bible-believing New Testament church, our church, is like a boat. So apostasy is like a great river flowing along with a very powerful current, and the New Testament church is like a boat. And you and I as Christians need to paddle hard and fight the current and keep up the good fight of faith through such things as genuine born-again conversion, amen, through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. We paddle up hard stream by holding to the truths of the Word of God and preaching the whole counsel of God, not leaving anything out. We paddle hard upstream by preaching separated living, separate from the world, living godly lives. And if you and I give up the fight, if we no longer hold true to the Word of God, my friends, we will, as a church and individuals, we will be carried downstream with the flow of apostasy. You see, there's no relaxing in the Christian life. Some of you are here this evening and you might think the subject is not so important to our church or to our lives. My friends, we are dead wrong. My friends, we are warned time and time again about the seriousness of this subject. There is no neutrality. If we get tired, if we get lazy and put down the paddles immediately, we will begin to move with the flow. If we're not willing this evening, for example, to take the correction and the reproofs of the Word of God, we will go along that deadly flow, which the Bible tells us in verse number 1, is ultimately led by the devil himself. He is the mastermind behind false teaching and leading Christians away from good Bible-believing churches into apostasy and churches that teach lies, doctrines of devils. There is a seducing spirit out there, and it is demonic. And we need some wisdom, don't we? We need some wisdom, first of all, in recognizing apostasy. How can we recognize what apostasy is? Well, notice with me in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. Let's look at a few facts that God tells us about you and I, how we can discern what apostasy is. What exactly is it? What has God told us? 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 1. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse number 1. Now we're going to look at a number of verses tonight. So please stay with me. 2 Peter chapter number 2 and verse 1. Notice what God says. But there were false prophets also among the people. Just like in the Old Testament, there were false prophets, even as shall be false teachers among you. Peter is talking to the church. He said, there will be false teachers among you who privily, that means secretly, shall bring in damnable heresies, and notice this, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. One of the truths that God tells us regarding apostasy is that we can recognize apostasy by those who deny the Lord. Verse number 1, even denying the Lord that bought them. They will deny who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And these are false prophets. These are false teachers. In fact, the word there in the text means pseudo-prophets, fake prophets. They are not what they appear to be. You know, on TV, I hope you're not watching any tele-evangelism, but if you've caught any of these charlatans, you know, they look good on the outside. They've got a $1,000 suit on. They've got a $1 million smile. And it seems like they're saying the right things. They look good on the outside. But the Bible tells us and warns us that there are false teachers that secretly, privily bring in damnable heresies, destructive false teaching against the truth of the faith. And one of the identifications of apostasy is a denial of the Lord, who He is and what He has done. Now in the 1950s, Billy Graham was a household name when it came to gospel evangelism. He was out and about all over the world preaching the gospel. But listen to what he said in a live television interview during the 1980s. He was being interviewed by Dr. Robert Schuller, which I wouldn't recommend him either, but he said this to Robert Schuller, that God has a wideness in his mercy, listen carefully, so that those who have never heard of Christ, of the Bible, can have Christ come into their hearts. He said, even if a person has never heard of Jesus Christ according to the Bible, they can still, in a special way, have Christ come into their hearts. You know what he was saying? He said, anyone from any religion can be saved if they just simply follow their faith. They will have Christ come into their hearts. My friends, that is an absolute denial of the Lord. An absolute denial. Jesus said himself, did he not? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, Billy Graham is one of the leaders in the current of apostasy in the world today, unfortunately. He has denied the faith so many times, he in fact today denies the Lord that bought him. He denies the Lord, and that's why we need to be wise in who we listen to and what we read. And what we believe. We need to recognize apostasy for what it is. You know, a good question to ask someone who claims to be a Christian is this. Who do you believe the Lord Jesus Christ is? What do you believe about him? Do you believe that he is the only way to be forgiven for our sins and the only way to get to heaven? You know, that's a question you can ask. In order to find out where a person is and what they believe. Don't just take it for granted that they're a Christian, because God warns us we live in the last days. And the Spirit speaketh expressly. He's warning us this evening that there is a great apostasy taking place. You can ask the question, is his blood sacrificed on the cross enough for you and I to be saved once and for all? That's how we can discern apostasy, the denial of the Lord. We can test false doctrine by asking what they say about Jesus Christ. Now, Joel Osteen, if some of you have heard of him, he's a pastor of one of the largest churches in America that is absolutely apostate, and he recently made the statement that Mormons are Christians. He said Mormons are Christians. And he heard a politician say, who was a Mormon, how much he loved Jesus Christ. And he said, well, that's good enough for me. I reckon Mormons are Christians. And yet that is so far from the truth. The Mormon church teaches salvation is by faith and works. It denies the Trinity. Mormons claim that God was once a man and that Jesus Christ was a created being, that he had many wives, and he is the brother of Satan. That's what the Mormon church teaches. And my friends, they deny the Lord. I believe Joel Osteen also denies the Lord when he preaches his messages and promotes a prosperity gospel and not a salvation gospel. And my friends, we need to be wise in perceiving what apostasy is. Well, first of all, it's a denial of the Lord. Look with me in 1 Timothy chapter number 4, where we started this evening. Those that deny who the Lord is and what he has done on the cross and call themselves Christians give evidence that they have believed a lie and hold to it. We see a denial of the Lord, and we also see a denial of the faith. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1, notice this, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. That word depart is the Greek word apostasia, which means apostasy. That's what it is, departing from the faith. And the faith is simply what you and I hold in our hands this evening, the complete counsel and the Word of God. The Bible tells us this is the foundation and the guidebook for our Christian faith, amen. And the Bible says that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. And the Holy Spirit has spoken expressly. That means he has spoken out to warn us against this great departure of the faith, the body of truth of the Word of God, which, yes, comes from the devil himself. That's why it's a very serious subject. And that's why, my friends, we need to realize, because the time is at hand, we need to live wisely in the days we are in. You know, some Christians may be discouraged this evening, perhaps, that we do not have a chock-a-block building, and yet the church down the road, which claims to be a Christian church, is packed to the brim. And they're jumping up and down in excitement about it. Well, there's a reason for that, my friends, and we'll look at that later. But many have left the faith, called themselves Christians, they've denied the Lord, and they also deny the Word of God. You know, it was the devil that first denied the Word of God, amen? Remember in the Garden of Eden, he interrogated Eve, and he lied to her, and he said to her, God has not said that if you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that you will die. The devil caused doubt in Eve's mind concerning God's word, and he lied about the word of God, and he lied about what God had said. And the devil is behind apostasy in our day. There are seducing spirits at work in the lives of false teachers, and we need to heed the warnings, lest we be seduced. Notice there in chapter 4 and verse number 2, these false teachers speak lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. They are absolutely convinced that they are right. See that statement, seared with a hot iron. If you've ever seen a horse being branded before, an owner of a horse will have a branding iron with their signature or symbol of ownership on it, and they will brand that horse to make sure if that horse disappears or if it's stolen or runs away, they will be able to find it again and identify it as their own. But what happens when a horse is branded, that flesh, that hot iron comes into contact with you, what happens to it? It dies and becomes hard. It is cauterized, I think that's the word, and it is no longer alive. That bears that branding mark. Now, those who are false teachers, you might think, well, Pastor, maybe I need to go out there and reach them, and maybe I just need to spend some time with them to convince them. But the Bible says these false teachers are absolutely convinced, their conscience is hardened, they are no longer willing to listen to truth, and they are absolutely convinced that they are right, and they will seek to lead you into error. Now notice one of the identifications of apostasy in denying the faith. Verse number 3, forbidding to marry. Now which religious institution does that sound like this evening? Absolutely, the Roman Catholic Church. What an amazing prophecy from the Apostle Paul. Because remember, the Roman Catholic Church, 300 AD, was fully underway. And Paul was already warning, a future telling statement, forbidding to marry. Forbidding to marry. And you might say, well, Pastor, that is ridiculous, isn't it? Because the Bible says a bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife. How clear is that? A bishop or a shepherd, a minister, ought to have a wife. That's what the Bible says. The bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife. And that is very clear in the Scriptures. You might say, well, how can the Catholic Church believe in celibacy, therefore, for their priests? Well, let me tell you why. Because they deny the faith. They deny the Word of God. This is not the foundation of their belief. They may call themselves Christians. They may say they believe in Jesus, but it's not the same Jesus. It is not the same gospel. It's not the same plan of salvation. They reject the Word of God, and they put forth their own traditions, their own false teaching. And in the past, so they don't do it very regularly, they also enforce the abstaining from meats on certain religious days. Even today, on Good Friday, many people don't eat meat. They eat fish instead. Why? Because of a religious teaching that was commonly practiced within the Catholic Church. And basically, the Apostle Paul was saying, beware with anyone that does the opposite to what the Bible says and believes the opposite. You might say, Pastor, that's crazy, but it's taking place all around us. And the false teachers are absolutely convinced that they are right and that the Word of God is wrong and that we are wrong. A denial of the faith. And we need to be careful, amen, that with any person that calls himself a Christian but denies what God says in His Word. You need to be careful, church family. That's how we recognize apostasy, a denial of the Lord, and a denial of the faith. Thirdly, a denial of sound doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. So we were in 1 Timothy. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Now remember, these truths give us wisdom in recognizing what apostasy is. We see a denial of the Lord, a denial of the faith, and a denial of sound doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter 4, let's read verses 3 and 4 together. 2 Timothy chapter 4, are you with me this evening?
Let's look at verse number 3. Let's read out loud together. On two. One, two. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. The time will come, and that's the time, brethren, in which we live. The time is at hand, that people will turn away from the truth, and will collect to themselves teachers that tell them what they want to hear. They won't want to hear sound doctrine, the truth of the Word of God. They will heap to themselves teachers that will tickle their ears, literally scratch their ears. The founder of Hillsong, Brian Houston, he's a co-pastor to his wife, Bobby Houston. They pastor the church together. When he was interviewed and he was asked about why the Hillsong Church has such great popularity, you know what he said? He said, "We are so popular because we scratch people where they itch." Can you believe it? It is written down and recorded. You can find it online. We scratch people where they itch. I believe that that is a very clear, demonically infused statement. In exact opposition to the Word of God. When God says right here in His Word, "They shall be turned unto fables, heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." He used that verse, probably assuming the people that are watching are ignorant of the truth. But my friends, that's what we find today, a denial of sound doctrine. Modern liberal theology has reasoned away many of the teachings of the Word of God. Many people will say today, "Well, we live in a different culture. What applied to people back then doesn't apply to us." Have you ever heard that before? Absolutely. People are reasoning away sound doctrine. They don't want to hear sound doctrine. They don't want to hear what the truth of the Word of God has to say. And they say, "Well, look, God is the judge. It's our responsibility just to love each other." That's what those in the wave of apostasy are saying. We just need to love each other and accept everyone as they are. And if they say they're a Christian, well, they're a Christian. My friend, that is not true. God warns us that there will be a time where people will not endure sound doctrine. They won't stand it. They can't stand it. They will reject it and will be turned unto fables. Brother David Cloud had an account of a church in Nashville, the music capital of America. And this church was a large church. It's called Grace Point Church. And they recently changed their stance on gay Christianity. Now, the country music star, Carrie Underwood, recently attended the church, and she spoke in favor of gay marriage. And then in 2012, the pastor led the church in a three-year process of listening on the topic of sexual orientation and identity. Now, my friends, that is ridiculous, because the Bible has clearly stated from the very beginning that homosexuality is a sin to be repented of. And the apostles made that very clear, and for thousands of years it's been written down and believed in Bible-believing churches, even during the days of rampant sodomy and in the Greek culture and the Roman culture when the Apostle Paul was writing the Word of God. They experienced the same sins and wickedness around them, yet the Bible is very clear. And yet the pastor of Grace Point Church has allowed homosexuals to be brought into full membership in the church. They have completely done a 180 degree turn, and they allow them to serve in leadership. And my friends, that's just another example how people are heaping to themselves teachers that will simply tell them what they want to hear, will simply tell them what they want to hear, and will scratch that itch. A denial of sound doctrine. A denial of sound doctrine. That's how we identify apostasy. A denial of the Lord, a denial of the faith, a denial of sound doctrine, and then also a denial of holy living. A denial of holy living. Look with me in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse 5. Now there's lots in the Bible regarding apostasy. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse 5. Let's read verse 5 out loud together, shall we? Ready? 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse 5.
1, 2. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You see, those who are have turned away from the faith and are just going downstream in this great wave of apostasy, not only do they reject sound doctrine, but they also reject godly living. How can we tell whether someone is a genuine Christian, not only by what they believe, but by how they live? You see, an apostate is not only wrong in their doctrine, but they are wrong in their morals. They are wrong in their lifestyle. You see, believing and behaving always go together. Amen? What you believe will determine how you obey. Now, there are many people in the world that claim to be Christians, but have you ever met someone who says, yeah, I'm a Christian, but you could never tell it if you looked on the outside? They don't look like a Christian. They don't sound like a Christian. They don't smell like a Christian. And yet they say they're a Christian. Well, what's gone wrong? Let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says that in the last days there will be many that will have a form of godliness, but will deny the power thereof. They say they are Christians, but they live ungodly lives. That's how you can identify someone who is going down the stream of apostasy today. They don't separate from the world. There's no difference between the way they live and the world lives. Now, Hillsong has opened a branch of their church in New York, and their pastor, his name is Carl Lentz. He's a 36-year-old young man. And in this review that I read, the journalist wrote that he comes covered in so many tattoos that would make a rapper blush. He is covered in so many tattoos and wears his trademark leather jacket and black outfit and punk haircut. And yet, if you watch this interview, there's a point in that interview where he cries. He bawls his eyes out to the interviewer and says how much he wants to help people and how much he wants to show them the love of Jesus Christ. And yet there is a strange inconsistency in the way that he looks and in the way they run their church. It's basically a rock concert with a little bit of Jesus thrown in. But be careful, he does mention that the only way to salvation is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah, you might say, Pastor, well, that sounds good. But what he's saying is, if you want Jesus to give you a better life, if you want success in your life, you need to come through the blood of Christ. What's he saying? He's not talking about the need of us to be forgiven for our sin problem and to repent of our sins. What he's saying is, we need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ for success in life, for happiness in life, for prosperity in life. And when he was asked about the success of the church, the meeting, He said these words. He said, well, you don't have to sell a good party. That's what he said regarding this place that they call a church. You don't have to sell a good party. And there are many young people in that church. If you've ever seen people lining up to go into a Hillsong church, they're predominantly young people. Many of these young people had parents that went to good biblical sound churches, and they have turned away from the faith. They have jumped in headlong into the wave of apostasy. Why? Because they say, well, he talks about Jesus, there mustn't be anything wrong about it. But they have failed to heed the warning of the Word of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. They say some things that are godly. They have an appearance of truth, but yet they deny the power thereof. They deny the power of the gospel. The true gospel of the Word of God, which is the power of God unto salvation. They deny the power of the Holy Spirit to save a person and convert them and change them into someone who lives a holy life. There is no holy living promoted in these places. There is no separated living. These churches look exactly like the world. Why? Because they are full of people that are still in the world. Don't be deceived tonight, church family. God warns us. There will be a form of godliness. And I think this is what most of our young people struggle with, parents. Seeing churches that, well, they talk about Jesus, they mention salvation, they use the same words, born again, saved, praying a prayer. But my friends, there is an underlying difference, which is the foundation of the Word of God. It is not the same Jesus, because repentance is not required. There isn't a call to repentance, a call to turn away from our wicked ways. No, there's only just a heart cry of the rock band to come forward and ask Jesus into your heart. My friend, that doesn't lead to salvation. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And the teachers in these false churches are just simply telling people what they want to hear. They knew if they preached about hellfire and judgment and the holiness of God, they would lose 90% of their people. And perhaps all of them would go, because they're not seeking the truth. They're seeking an entertainment center. They're seeking to heap teachers unto themselves that will tell them what they want to hear. Well, how do we recognize apostasy? A denial of the Lord and of the faith, of sound doctrine and holy living. We need some wisdom in recognizing it. We also need some wisdom in dealing with apostasy. How do we deal with apostasy in our day? What does God want us to do? Let me just read some verses to you quickly. Some of them we've already looked at. 2 Timothy 3:1. Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Let me ask you this evening, are we in the last days, yes or no? Yes. Therefore we live in these perilous days, these dangerous days. God wants us to know it is already here. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people in the Old Testament, even as there shall be false teachers among you. God is saying in the book of 2 Peter, there will be false teachers in our church. Right here is Coastline Baptist Church. The Apostle Paul was warning that local church, these believers, that there will be false teachers among you. Again, God warns us that it is here. It is in our midst. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Again, we are in those latter days, those last days. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. My friends, these truths have already been fulfilled. And my point is that we need to make sure we recognize apostasy for what it is and don't take it lightly that we exist in a day of great deception. This is the day in which we live. It is relevant for us right now, today, here in our church. It is here. And we cannot be ignorant. How do we deal with what we are facing? Well, notice with me in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. Just a couple of things this evening to help us to know what to do. Well, all those who call themselves Christians and yet reject the faith. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse 1. Paul wrote this letter because he was very concerned about these believers in Thessalonica. They had been lied to by some false teachers, and believe it or not, they started to believe the lie that they had missed the rapture, that the coming of Christ was at hand, and that they were in the tribulation period. And the Apostle Paul was gravely concerned for these believers in the local church. There in chapter number 2 of 1 Thessalonians, he says, "For yourselves, brethren," 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Get the right book. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, he said, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him," he was encouraging them, look, don't be frightened, don't be confused, because you have not missed the rapture. Verse number 2, "that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." And he was encouraging this church family not to believe the lies that were being told in the church, not to believe the lies of these false teachers. And my point is this evening, here at Coastline Baptist Church, God wants us to be cautious about what is said and believed in our church. Amen. He wants us to be cautious about what is believed. You see, there were people writing to these churches in Thessalonica, signing off as the Apostle Paul, that they had missed the rapture, they were in the tribulation, and the day of the Lord is at hand. The Lord is coming. And they were frightened. Some of them had, in fact, left their jobs because they thought it was imminent that Christ is coming to rule and reign on the earth. They had believed a lie.
And Paul was concerned that they would be shaken in spirit and in mind, that they would live unstable Christian lives because of the lies that they had believed. And in our church this day, church family, let me charge you this evening, we need to be cautious. We need to be aware of what people say and what we believe. We need to judge everything by the Word of God. Is that correct? We need to be cautious in our church. Paul was warning these believers, don't believe everything you hear. And let me warn you that there will be false teachers among you. The Bible describes wolves in sheep's clothing. Someone who says that they're a Christian, but in fact they are a wolf. And they come in and out of churches. What do? Well, they seek to lead people away from a good Bible-believing church. The Bible warns us about the apostasy of the last day. Now, these apostates, they are not seeking to draw you closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not seeking to build up the local New Testament church. No, they want to lead away people to become disciples of their own perverted false doctrines. That's what they do. And church family, let me say this evening, you need to be careful about what people say to you. You may say, Pastor, what does that mean? What do you want me to do? Well, you need to tell me about it, amen. You need to tell me about what people say. Because there is a grave danger that if we just let people believe what they want to believe and say what they want to say, that others may be pulled away. I find a lot of Christians, they don't share with the pastor what they hear from others because they just don't want to hurt that relationship. They're afraid. And my friends, if that's where you're at this evening, you have no idea what that person is saying to the next Christian in the church and to the person who just got saved and doesn't know anything more except the fact that they're saved. And oftentimes these apostates, they go after the newborn sheep, the young lambs. And church family, you need to come and tell me when someone says, hey, you know what, I don't believe what our church teaches about this. You need to come and tell me. As the pastor of Coastline Baptist Church, I'm responsible for protecting the flock, for making sure that no one gets led away in error, just like these Thessalonians were panicking because someone was spreading lies. The pastor needs to know. Now, sadly, this is a fact. This is just the way we live. I'm usually the last one to find out about, in fact, a lot of things. I'm usually the last one to find out about people giving their opinion about different things they don't believe concerning what we believe in. So I need to know. Are we serious about the subject of apostasy? Do we love God's church? If we do, we need to work together to be cautious, amen, about what is said. When people come to us from another church, you might know them and you might know something about them. I'll be happy to hear what you know about them so we can protect one another. Now, some people are just ignorant about the Word of God and they just need to be encouraged in the truth. And many times, that's great. I still need to know and share with them, okay, what does the Bible really say about the about baptism, for example? And they may not believe that baptism is just a symbol. They may think it's for salvation. And they just need to be shown the truth of the Word of God. There's a difference between ignorance, though, and apostasy. Those who are led into false doctrine, they are supremely convinced that they are right. And they are seeking to lead others away in time to come. And my friend, the devil is on the attack. And he is at work in our church as well to lead others away. And we need to be cautious. If someone invites you out and then say, hey, you know about that message on Sunday morning? I don't really believe that what pastor was preaching. I don't really believe what he was saying about marriage. I don't really believe what he was saying about Christ's return. You know, I believe this. And then if they start to share their opinions, let me encourage you to ask them, have you shared that with the pastor? Because my friends, if they don't believe what we believe, as I often say, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 beautiful big doors in our church building. And we can just invite people to say, well, if you don't agree with what we believe, you're welcome to choose one of those doors and go somewhere where there's a church that believes what you believe. And you can hop onto their false teaching and their bandwagon and go down the stream of apostasy, but we don't want it here. Amen. We need to be cautious. God warns us to be cautious. I hope you don't mind me sharing my heart this evening. I don't want another family to leave because they have been lied to by someone who craftily uses the Word of God to deceive them. And it is taking place in our church. I trust you won't be the next one. We need to be cautious. Please come and see me if someone airs their views about what they don't believe, what they disagree with, what they are against in our church. God wants us to have a unity of the faith. That's what pleases Him. That's what He's seeking for. He wants us to build us up according to the truth of God's Word. Now, we all have different areas in our lives that we need to grow in, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about someone who comes into a church and teaches about Calvinism. They teach about loss of salvation. They teach about speaking in tongues, and yet the pastor wouldn't know, but they're whispering in other people's ears, trying to convince them of these damnable heresies. And we need to make sure we keep them accountable and make sure that as the pastor I find out. So please, let's help us out at one another when it comes to this serious issue of apostasy. Well, notice we are exhorted to be cautious in our lives. Let no man deceive you by any means. How do we deal with it? Well, we are to turn away from others who are taken in apostasy. We are to turn away from others who are taken in apostasy. Let's look at these verses together, because I want to be careful, church family, that you see what God says for yourself. I don't want you to think that this is an independent Baptist church cultish practice, that you're in some sort of strange church. Let's look together at what God says in His Word for us. 2 Timothy, please, chapter 3 and verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. The Bible says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power of, from such, what are the next words? Turn away. Now, I don't think I need to give you the Greek background to those words. From such, turn away. Okay, go with me to the book of Romans, chapter number 16. The book of Romans, chapter number 16. How do we deal with those who are involved in false teaching? What should our response be? Romans chapter 16 and verse 17. Excuse me, Romans chapter 16 and verse 17. Verse 17 tells us, now I beseech you, that is Paul is saying, I'm pleading with you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offences contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. What are the next words? And avoid them. God wants their names to be made public, to be marked. And God says, what should our response be? To avoid them. Let's keep going. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. Let's look at one more verse. 1 Timothy chapter number 6 and verse 5. Verse number 3 is talking about false teaching, those that spread lies, false doctrine. Notice verse number 5. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. Well, there's the prosperity gospel. Gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. I hope you see with me this evening, brethren, God is very clear. His command for us as Christians when it comes to apostasy is what? To separate ourselves from it, ourselves, and also to separate from those involved in apostasy. Do you see that with me this evening? Yes or no? God says, from such turn away. God says, avoid them. God says to there in the book of Romans, avoid them and mark them, and from such withdraw thyself. You see, in order for you and I to have victory in our Christian life, and for you and I not to be the next victim of this wave of apostasy, God has some wisdom for us this evening. He says, you need to avoid them. Now, I believe this is probably the most difficult thing that a Christian struggles with, separating and breaking up friendships with those who believe something else outside of the Word of God. And oftentimes, it's those friendships that remain
that cause that other person to be led into apostasy. You see, there are some that promote it. But apostasy can only grow if we tolerate it. Is that correct? If we ourselves tolerate it and are friends with those who believe in false doctrine, they promote it, but we're tolerating it. And ultimately, if we stay in that place and we listen to their reasonings and false interpretation of the Word of God, we will be pulled in and we will become a promoter to lead others away. My friends, we cannot tolerate it. God says you must separate yourself from it. Some of you might have friends that go to a Pentecostal church or a charismatic church or a Mormon church or a Catholic church, and they teach false doctrine. Some of you may know people that go to Hillsong or whatever flavor there is out there. My friends, God warns us of apostasy and He says, you need to stay away. Not from that church, but from that person. To avoid them, because they're getting in your ear about false doctrines. That's what the Bible says. Getting in your ear and poisoning your mind. You see, God says in His wisdom, listen to this, how can two walk together except they be agreed? You might say, well, Pastor, I'm trying to keep that relationship up because I think I can win them over. My friend, if they are consumed and their conscience is hardened by the false doctrines that they believe, my friends, you will not be able to convince them. Only God will be able to do that. You need to avoid them, lest you become the next victim. Because two people can't have a friendship and can't walk together spiritually if they're not agreed. It's impossible. You can pray for them. You can witness to them, amen? But you need to be careful. So God says to avoid them. And you know, here's a thought. If someone has left our church and gone to another church, based upon the Word of God this evening, my encouragement would be this. If you're concerned about your friendship with them, if they've chosen to leave our church, let me encourage you to encourage them just to simply make friends with people who are in that new church that they've gone to. Don't worry, if they're not friends with you, they're not going to die. Okay? They're not going to implode. Let them just make friends with the church that they've decided to go to. And let me encourage you to make friends with people in our church. Let's be honest, some of us don't know one another at all. And yet we're right here every Sunday. We know where we live and we fellowship together, but we're not building friendships. What God wants us to do for the unity of the faith is to know each other better, to encourage each other in the faith. What He does not want is for you and I to hang around people who are promoting false doctrine, who are trying to lure others away into this wave of apostasy. We cannot tolerate it. God says avoid it. Withdraw thyself. Now, I may be very unpopular as a pastor for saying such things, but I trust that you see it in the Word of God this evening. This is what God says. If we're going to get wisdom in our Christian lives, we need to obey the Word of God. Let me ask you this evening, how much do you love the Lord? How much are you willing to obey Him? The Christian life does include making sacrifices and choices for the glory of God. And because the attack is so fierce today, we cannot afford to be complacent about this issue of apostasy. Now, lastly, we will see an increasing attack against Bible-believing Christians when it comes to apostasy. Let me just read this verse out loud for you. Jude chapter 1, verse 18. It says, "How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who shall walk after their own ungodly lust." There will be people that will mock you for your stand on the Bible in the last days. There will be people that will scorn you for drawing a line of separation in the sand and perhaps telling that person, look, I think you just need to make friends with people who believe the same thing that you do. They will mock you. They will scorn you. They will revile you. But that's what the Bible says, that there will be mockers. That's why it's so important for us to realize that the time is at hand. That's why we will experience what we're experiencing today. Not that there's something wrong with your personality or your smell of deodorant. No, God says to avoid them. And if they don't like that, we just need to obey the Word of God. Amen. Because that is God's wisdom for keeping our church free from false teaching and keeping your life free from false teaching. And that you, my friend, and I won't be the next ones to be led into this wave of apostasy where people are absolutely convinced that they're right.
that they had denied the faith and denied the Lord that bought them. It's a scary thought. And scary things are taking place right now in this hour in churches all around Cairns where people are preaching false doctrines. We need to be wise in recognizing apostasy. We need to be wise in dealing with it. Let's be cautious in our lives. And yes, if you have any questions, please come and see me after the service. But we need to be honest this evening. Coastline Baptist Church exists. Why? Because a group of believers chose to separate themselves from false teaching. A group of believers chose to reject the false doctrine of Calvinism and Reformed theology and corrupt Bible versions. And they said, no, we're not going to stand for that. They obeyed the Word of God. And some of you are saved here this evening because of the ministry of this local church. Amen. Some of you are saved because some believers chose to separate themselves. They obeyed the Word of God, and we have the privilege of having a local Bible-believing church right here. Because some believers said, yes, we will take that hard stance and let's see what God will do. And God has established a church here. Let's make sure we aren't the ones to fall into error. And let's be wise in our decisions and in our relationships in the days ahead.